Okay, I don't know if we should start a recording with you start, like, humping your fucking mic.
Well, why not? I like humping mics.
All right, whatever. Whatever.
Mike Ditka, Michael Jordan, Michael B. Jordan.
Ah, so you chose two Michael Jordans, and you chose... At least you ordered them correctly. I would have picked Michael Jordan over Michael B. Jordan any day of the week.
Actually, I'd rather hump Michael B. Jordan.
What the hell is wrong with you?
He's a prettier man, I'm just saying.
Oh, you know what's funny is I have a bunch of coworkers who all say he's ugly.
What?
Yeah, they say he's not talented and he's ugly, and I ask him why, and they just say he's not talented and he's ugly.
I actually like a lot of his movies.
Yeah, and these are not racist people. They are, like, one of them is married to a black man. It's just they don't think he's good looking, and I'm like, I thought he was a good looking dude, but maybe not. I don't know.
I think he's a very good looking dude.
Maybe women don't like him and men do. Maybe it's one of those good looking guys.
But I mean, maybe it's because he's like opposite people in roles where it's like Zac Efron or Miles Teller that he's with.
I guess.
People like them more. I don't know.
Maybe. I didn't get into the nitty gritty because they couldn't tell me why. They just kept saying he's not attractive.
That's fair.
But welcome back, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome to another edition of Soul of a Gamer podcast.
Yes.
I'm Scott.
And I am Steven.
And every week we play a game, we tell you about the making of the game, and we give you a little review on how we think the game did.
Yes, we do.
And we hope you enjoyed our last week's episode.
Oh my god, I am going to fail.
You're going to fail?
I'm drawing a blank.
I can't remember what it was either.
Immortality,
yeah. We do it every week. And I still forget every fucking week what we played last week because I'm so focused on what we're playing this week.
I'm also trying to always play ahead, too. Yeah. So sometimes
but it's not
I'm
just
like,
you're so focused on what you're playing. Like,
true.
Like, I was focused on Gravity Rush so much that I just completely forget what we're doing the previous week.
Yeah, like, if I don't do my notes at a decent time after I played the game, like, I'm like, what happened again? Do I need to read some reviews again first?
Right.
Do I need to play a little bit again?
Yeah. So, yeah, as you heard, we are doing Gravity Rush this week. We are excited about that one. But before we jump into that, Steven, what the fuck are you playing?
I am playing the fucking Resident Evil Village game.
Oh, nice.
It's actually, I didn't realize at first that it was I didn't watch a lot of the videos and stuff for it, but it's a direct sequel to Resident Evil Biohazard.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
You're playing as the same protagonist, Ethan Winters. Mm. And this one's very different because it's lichens, werewolves, vampires, and some Magneto motherfucker. I'm not joking, dude. This guy's got Magneto powers.
What's their name? The Brotherhood? Isn't it called Brotherhood? I think that's the team he's a part of.
I have no idea, but this is like... I don't even know where this takes place. It's on some like snowy mountaintop, and it's like the vampires in it are very fucking cool. And there's that Dami Umami, Lady Dimitrix or whatever her name is that everyone fell in love with. Which
I thought that was Leon in the game, but I guess it's not.
No, not in that one. It's Ethan Winters and Chris Redfield's in it, and
I will never forget the mod that someone had the fly swatter. And they're going around slapping lady.
Her in the ass.
Yeah, it's just so funny. It's so dumb, but it's so fucking funny.
But yeah, it starts out very strong and very chaotic and doesn't have much build up at all. It just is like, oh, you want to go ahead and like after your first lichen fight, you want to fight 50 of them and then a giant one that's like 15 feet tall and then just have to survive that for like 15 minutes.
No, I don't want to do any of that.
What? Okay, now this guy's going to just, like, appear next to you, and then he's going to just, like, wave his hand, and then a crossbar is just going to go into your chest, and then all of a sudden, like, metal scraps are going to fly around the air, and they start covering your body, and then he's going to drag you into a room, and they're all debating who's going to kill you. And you're like, nobody, please.
Okay, I guess you've sold me. I guess I'll try it.
Fair enough. All right, what are you playing this week?
So I started playing some... I've been kind of off and on in Pokemon Crystal for a little while now. Just hanging out, playing it, having some fun. Because I've been a little crazy. I got a Pokemon Yellow, a Pokemon Blue, and a Pokemon Gold off eBay. And I've just been kind of collecting all the games again and fucking around with them. The Blue and Yellow, unfortunately, are broken, and I need to do some repairs on them. But I think I just need to... retrace some stuff, which isn't too bad. I've just never done it before, so I'm gonna give it a try and see how that goes. But yeah, just some Pokemon Crystal off and on here. Nothing crazy this week of playing. A little bit of Stardew Valley when I had a little time, but like I said, nothing crazy.
I've still been doing my trading card simulator on the side a little bit too.
I still haven't played it. I need to get into it. I really want to play it.
Yeah, I'm on day like 50 now or something.
Nice. All right, well, let's just jump right into this game then.
Yes, please.
So firstly, this is an action-adventure game. We should start probably saying that here just to let you guys know what kind of game it is.
Yeah,
it is an action-adventure.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it's just hard to remember to do that because we're like, oh, we played this game and everyone should know what it is. But
exactly. Look it up, bitches. Yeah.
But this is an action-adventure game. The story of Gravity Rush follows protagonist Kat as she embarks on a journey of self-discovery where she will need to protect the city she finds herself in while looking for answers about who she is and why she is there.
Bum, bum, bum.
The making of Gravity Rush starts with creator Kaichiro Toyama. I keep wanting to say Toriyama, which I know it's not Toriyama.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think there is someone named that.
Yeah, there is. It's the Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon
Ball
Z. I just keep wanting to say that because it's so close, but I know it's probably not even close at all. Just in my brain, it is.
fair.
Yeah, with creator Kaichiro Toriyama, Toyama, who had been a big name in developing horror games before working on Gravity Rush. He had originally wanted to create Gravity Rush as his first game, but Sony wanted to take advantage of the horror craze of the mid-2000s, so they asked Toriyama to work on several horror games. Mm-hmm. After receiving some clout from working on the original Silent Hill game and on the Siren series, he was able to pitch the idea of Gravity Rush to Sony. They accepted, and he got to work on making the game. The concept of Gravity Rush is based on the art from French artist Mobius, specifically from the graphic novel Incal. And I didn't write this in here. Incal is basically this, like, it's a pseudo science fiction graphic novel with a bunch of really fucking sweet art. One of the, if you've ever watched any Studio Ghibli, one of the movies that they do is based on this manga series called Nausicaa and the Valley of the Wind.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've seen that
one. So that is, the entirety of that world is based off Mobius's art.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, so this French artist is really famous for this kind of, like, creepy, strange-looking bug creatures, like, all this stuff, like, more grotesque creatures in kind of, like, a very classical kind of world, like a European world.
Yeah.
And
very,
a lot
like,
of people,
gothic London style.
And a lot of people base their stuff off of him, which I think is crazy. He's like, I've never fucking heard of him before, but apparently he's huge, and especially in Japan, where multiple people like with very big series have tried him. You know,
fair. I don't know his name, but I know his work. So
yeah, Mobius is his art name. I don't know what his regular name is.
Oh, okay,
I like the name Mobius better. It sounds cool.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's easy to
Normally, when working on a game, a team might start on the idea of how the game works, then develop characters to fit inside the scope of the game, and finally develop an area for the characters to exist. For this game, the team actually started by building the world the characters would live in. Most of the city that a player will find themselves in for the game is based off several European cities. The game coding was a difficult process for the team because of how collisions work in the game. Normally, when you hit the ground, a specific thing might happen. In this game, Toyama noted that, or how the ground could quickly turn into a wall, so collisions were hard to make seamless. So, like, in this game, there is a lot of transitioning between what is ground, what is wall, what is ceiling. A lot of transitioning between that. So, I can't even imagine, because normally you have this gravity effect and you splat on the ground. But now the ground has become the wall, so now you need a different kind of gravity, like you're almost getting forced to a wall, which is a different effect altogether. So I can't imagine how hard it is to like sit there and say, what the fuck do we do if they like hit a wall but it turns into the ground? How do we fix that?
Interesting to have the shifting of the modes and like your feet just like cling to things in the shifted mode.
Yeah, and like coding, it's got to be fucking difficult because you're literally, you start by making a box and you say, this is ground, these are walls, don't fuck with the walls, you know? And now it's like, well, fuck all that, let's start from nowhere and just get this working, I guess.
Yeah, like, let alone trying to get the camera to work with all that movement, too.
Yeah, that's crazy. In this game, Toyama noted how the ground could quickly turn into a wall, so collisions were hard to make seamless. The team did use their previous game's characters for testing of the game, so they would have characters from Siren Blood Curse flying around the city and getting into fights, which That's I awesome. Thought was really funny.
Yeah.
For developing the main character of the game, Cat, Toyama hired Shinsuke Saito. He was one of the people who designed the game Ape Escape. He started his journey with designing a character that would not fit into the world that was presented to him. He made Cat have a dark skin, red eyes, and blonde hair to note that she was a foreigner. One thing he designed for the character was making sure she had long hair and a long scarf. This was a strategy used by the team to denote that when Cat was upside down. To show that she was, the hair and scarf would be pulled downward.
Nice. Which,
I don't know why they would do that, though, if your center of gravity has changed, therefore the entirety of your character should change.
I guess, but I guess they were just trying to, like...
That's the way it work.
You're right.
It's just funny.
But just, like, aesthetically pleasing to the eye, maybe.
Yeah, that way you could tell, like, oh, okay, I'm on the ceiling right now. I see. Yeah. I don't have to worry. Like, I get the idea. It's just funny because the science doesn't really work out that
way. It's totally ass backwards, but it makes sense to your eyes.
One big worry. Put bug there.
One bug worry.
I'm like, wait, I put bugs in here? I don't remember putting bugs in here.
There was all the bugs.
One big worry for Sony at the time of approving the game, which this is fucking crazy, okay? This is insane to me now because it's so fucking different. So approving the game was the fact that the characters looked too much like an anime. In Western countries at the time, anime was still something that was not seen as a standard. So the team worked hard to make sure the comic scenes of the game did not feature anime tropes or anime facial gags.
Oh,
isn't that crazy? Because now that it's like crazy. Nobody gives a shit. They like the anime part of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
now,
that's kind of like why everyone loved Teen Titans and The Last Airbender.
But here we now have these people who are like, okay, well, the people who are playing games over there don't like anime, so fuck them.
Yeah, I mean, which I'm glad the anime has definitely gotten to the Western world now, and we all love and are at least a lot more people love and appreciate anime than there ever has been. But
you don't have to like it; you just don't have to sit there and shit on something
just don't
that
shit
you don't
on
watch.
It.
Yeah,
yeah.
If you don't watch it, you can't shit on it. How about that?
Exactly. I mean, if you watch it and you actually formed an opinion on the show, like I didn't like this show, I'll hear you out.
Yeah,
but
for
if
sure.
you just say anime's stupid and you're all babies for watching it, then fuck you.
Well, you're not an adult; you can't watch fucking something that has guns in it.
Little do they know.
Well, I also argue to people. I'm like, you know how like action movies, how action scenes are cut to shit and like you don't actually see people make contact? Now imagine you get a fight scene where you can draw everything that's supposed to happen how it's supposed to happen.
Yeah,
so
right?
you get to see someone actually slice someone in half.
Yeah, it's
like,
fucking
it
crazy
gets way
sometimes.
More visceral.
They also wanted the faces of the characters to seem more European and less Japanese, which makes sense. They're making a European world, which...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta appeal to the market you're trying to sell the most in.
Yeah, and I mean, clearly the most Japanese character or anime-style character in there is Cat, the lead character.
Oh, yeah, so, for sure.
Saito also worked on all the animations for Cat. This way, he could show how the character he created should move around the city. The team did not use any motion capture for the game, instead relying on hand-drawn animations from Saito.
Okay, that's awesome.
Right? Saito also inspired the way that Cat fought. He would practice kung fu in his off time, which led to a more kick-focused game when it came to fighting.
I love the kick focus, honestly. Right?
One thing that Saito had trouble with in animating Cat was how to show that Cat is making a big hit. In other games, there might be a hit stop, so a moment, and here I say where time slows down or stops for a brief moment to show how hard the hit was. So if you think of like a fighting game, say you do a big uppercut, and then
it's got that moment where it like makes contact and like, duh!
Yeah, it makes contact, stops for a brief moment, and then you see them fly upwards.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so he didn't want to do that because he didn't want that hit stop to affect the gameplay, and instead, let's see, in Gravity Rush, decided to have show reaction to how hard she hits. When she hits an enemy, she might fly backwards. This shows that the hit not only made contact but forced her to fly back as a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
really
a little
cool.
bit. It is, and it's a little bit different. It basically tells the same story, right? You can tell how hard you hit. You can feel the rumble of the controller. Like, it does a lot. But
well, it almost does that, like, start-stop thing. Like, when you start the propulsion, like, especially if you do that speed-up in the middle of your rush, like, it almost, like, doof, you get that shot of speed increase.
Yeah. for sure. And making her personality, Toyama wanted her to be more like the girl next door trope. He didn't want her to be a loner introvert, which seemed to be the popular way to portray heroine characters at the time. Toyama knew from the beginning he wanted the hero of the game to be female. He was a bit worried. Why was he worried, Steven?
Sexist pigs.
In America! It was he's saying Western countries. I'm like, come on, dude, just say it. Just say America. You know which one you're
America.
Talking about.
It's America. Who did you know?
it's just so funny. He was a bit worried because Western audiences had been resistant in the past of female leads for games, so he gave her some ninja-like moves to make the game more approachable for males. Which I think is fucking stupid. But
so stupid.
Hilarious, too. You're like, I know how to get these guys
in. We also
in.
Have to make her not look anime, but we also have to make sure that she's like appeals to them, make her like a girl next door, and make her this and that. It's like, oh my god, curating it to
it's US so Ms. Fuck, so it's so awful. Bad, and oh god, it's just so frustrating. It's so fucking frustrating. Yes. The original idea for the game was for it to be released on the PS3.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened again, Steven. The third fucking time. About halfway through making the game, Sony asked that the game be shifted to work on the PlayStation Vita.
I don't know how we're doing this. Like,
Keats, and this is like in the same time period. It's all in the same fucking time period between 2008 and 2012. That keeps happening between
that
there.
That was probably the biggest generational gap switch over of consoles ever.
But man, is it crazy that all these people just restarted their game.
Yeah. Well, God I mean, damn. Like, seriously, though, like, the PS3 and Xbox 360, PS3 especially, when it came out, was revolutionary.
Yeah, right? Oh, the Xbox 360 came out. It was revolutionary for all 3 minutes that it worked, and then it would not work again.
Red Ring of Death.
Yeah.
We still love man. Xbox, though. But
I think it was, like, what's the number? Like, 85 or 89% of Xboxes had the Red Ring, which is crazy.
Four 360s and have
had three.
Not had zero.
I've had three.
I've had zero Red Ring
all
of
three had the Red Ring of Death. Only one of them that
so
I bought
lucky.
Didn't.
I got so lucky. I didn't have a single one.
Well, if you got them after, I think the 360 came out in 2005 or 6.
Yeah, I did get it late.
Yeah, if you get them later, they don't have that problem because they don't have that processor. They changed the processor, I believe.
I was a poor little boy, so I got them probably a year later.
Yeah. All right, so where was I here? About halfway through making the game, Sony asked that the game be shifted to work on the new PlayStation Vita. The Vita was a handheld console that followed Sony's previous handheld, the PSP. This led to a few problems that the team had to fix. Firstly, the team was cut in half since it was no longer going to be a console game. Then, when they were first told about the Vita, they were told that it would have similar processing power to the PS3. They then were told it would not be anywhere near the speed of the PS3.
Oh, damn.
Well, of course it will. Why?
I mean, it makes sense.
The yeah, I'm like,
Vita
how would you even do
compared.
That? Yeah. They then were told it would not be anywhere near the speed of the PS3. This led to many of the items to be made stationary so the Vita would not get overloaded, where before the items would have been throwable. They also had to change the way the enemies looked and behaved. The composer for the game was Kohei Tanaka. Oh, and by the way, it's bullshit that they changed to the fucking Vita, because the Vita was a complete horseshit fucking console.
It did not do well.
It
was a better console than the PSP.
For
but
sure.
It
but
sold
still not great.
Less somehow, I feel like.
It sold less, and it just didn't. The games on it are forgettable. I think that's one of the reasons Gravity Rush isn't as big as it should be, because it's on the fucking Vita, which the Vita is garbage.
Which it wasn't until the PS4 that
it got
the
a remaster.
And got on console.
Yep. The composer for the game was Kohei Tanaka. Tanaka is famous for working on many animes and movies. He used an acoustic orchestra, many electric instruments, and a synth soundboard to create a unique sounds in the game. He wanted to complement the gravity effect in the game, so he did not use any of the more popular styles from the time. When asked which song from the game he liked the best, he said he didn't really have an answer. That asking that question was the same as asking him which of his children was his favorite. Which I'm totally down with. Why do people do that? Why do they, like, you created this entire thing. Which one do you like the best? Like, I like it all.
Well, and it's like, especially if you create things that are, like, different or something, it's like, how do I compare the two? Like, I like these for different reasons.
Exactly.
Like, obviously, I like both things that I created, but I like this one because of this and this one because of this.
Yeah, it's just, what a weird question to ask people when they create stuff. Toyama said that he was very happy that Sony took a chance on him, saying that since Sony is technically a music company, that they appreciate artistic direction. He does say that now it is getting harder to make games that are more in a more niche market because of how people want games to be bigger and better. Gravity Rush was released in June of 2012 and came out to very good reviews, but had poor sales. The game was then remastered in 2016 before the release of Gravity Rush 2. Bum, bum, bum. Yeah, and that's it.
Nice. No, that was really good, though. Shall we get on to the best and worst parts, then?
Let's jump into the best and the worst.
All right. Well, obviously, I think the gravity switching is so fun to do, and especially once you get used to it. I do feel like there's a little bit of getting used to the flying around, especially the camera, and just like knowing where you're going and how you're flying, and especially how limited amount of time you have at first.
You know, I think some of the best moments in this game, honestly, the gravity is fucking sweet. You feel like it's Superman at any given moment. Like, honestly, that is so fucking cool. I love switching the perspective of what is floor, what is ceiling, what is walls, what is left, what is right. Like, it is so fucking sweet. You can do so much cool shit with the gravity. Combat's a little limited in this game, but I kind of like that better because then there's not as much to learn with combat because you already have this big learning curve when it comes to, like, using your gravity powers.
Exactly. And even though it was, like, limited, I didn't mind it because the gravity kick was just so cool.
So
like using
cool.
the gravity kick every time and then just using your specials here and there.
I did get on the ground a couple times and start kicking. One of the missions required you to later on. But you know, just for the most part it was fun. The worst parts about this game is it's for the fucking Vita. God damn it. Fucking god damn it, Sony. Like, so one of the things that you'll notice playing the remaster version of this game is there is like a 15 to 20 second lag after you come out of a mission where you can't press start, where you can move, but you can't interact with anything in front of you. Like, that, what an annoying fucking thing. And I know that's all Vita. I absolutely know for 100% fact that's all because it was on the fucking Vita and they had to program it that way to give the Vita time to catch up to what the processor is doing.
That's fair. That's fair.
And that is just so fucking infuriating, you know? And then, of course, the remaster has a couple glitches that I didn't love. There were moments where I got blank comic strip spaces.
Oh,
where it would
weird.
Be completely black, where it shouldn't have been completely black. There should be something happening.
Yeah.
And that was a little confusing. At the end of the game, I had it completely crash on me. It's all just Vita issues. Like, this is the most obnoxious thing in the world to make a game for the fucking Vita when you know this game would have been fucking perfect on the PS3.
Yeah, I also had a crash in the like the area where you lose your powers and you're going down that giant hole or whatever.
Yeah,
that void area. That was, which also, sections where I hate in this video game are those sections. I hate any sections in a video game where they either limit or take away your powers.
Yeah.
It slows down the game. It brings it to a halt. In a game where the traversal is everything, taking that away hurts it so much.
I agree, but also I kind of liked it. It's in this weird spot. If it was story-driven, if there was a reason for it, I would have been totally for it. They didn't explain the reason for it.
Yeah, so, it was just random.
Yeah, it just happened, and you're like, why doesn't it? You're going to give me like a cool story bit about why it doesn't work here? Because I'd love the story about it, but you didn't fucking do anything.
And if it was just because I was in that area, that'd be one thing. But you go back up through that area with your powers.
Yeah, but a year later, so something happened in between. But again, there's no story to explain why.
Exactly.
So I'd love to know the story, though. Like, that was a cool thing where I'm like, oh, does this have something to do with why I have gravity powers? Oh, my God. Because you really get very little story on Kat during this game. Like,
which is a little annoying.
It's a little annoying because you really want more. This is one of those games where I say sometimes you want less, sometimes you want more, and you want fucking more.
You definitely want more in this one. So, I was the same way.
Yeah. Amazing parts of this game. Again, like everything else is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
This game, I love the world that it's in.
Yeah,
the levels are cool. And the entirety of every single area is really cool. Like, it looks cool. It's very spacious. It's like, again, flying around like Superman is so much fucking fun. Fighting the enemies is fun, although some of them are a little bit annoying, and the targeting system can be a little annoying, but that makes sense with the gravity system, so I wasn't too bothered by that.
Yeah, I agree with that. So. The other thing I love is just the, it really rewards exploration. Yeah. All your upgrades are tied to finding these gems that you can explore and find. You mm-hmm. also get them from completing missions and side quests. So the more you do in the game, the more you're rewarded, and the more you can level up really quickly and really fast and upgrade all your powers, which super helps. Which, I mean, you're obviously going to want to explore anyways, because these powers make it so much fun to, like, walking underneath on the bottom of the city, mm-hmm. going through all those different things, finding all these different, like, caves and areas, going, flying around between the cities. It's pretty crazy all the shit you can do, and the just really rewarding the exploration. I really just love that, because if you feel weak at the beginning, which you are really weak and you can't fly for very long, just go explore that map, find everything, and level that up all the way to keep your time in the air up, and then you can really just have fun with it.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, if we think about it too, the way this game works is just so much like Prototype.
Yeah,
which
bit.
I do appreciate. The only difference is Prototype had these fucking missions that you could do where you basically get no rewards out of them. And in this one, the missions, they're basically like time trials and enemy trials. Just consider them all time trials of some kind. And with the time trials are really fucking boring and really fucking obnoxious a lot of the times.
Yeah.
But in this one, I found myself wanting to do them because they give you a reward that helps upgrade your character. Because again, this game is like a pseudo RPG of sorts.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I liked it because, like, a lot of them were fun, like, especially the sliding, the gravity mm-hmm. slide.
Yep.
Time trials, those were the best ever. And those were pretty easy, like, to get golds on and everything. Like, none of the challenges were, like, some of the flying time challenges were a little difficult. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, most of the game is pretty easy. Like, you're going to, on a couple of tries, get the highest level and get gold on almost any challenge.
And once you get good at actually understanding how the gravity shifting works, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think that's about it for my best and worst.
Yeah. The only other thing, we talked about a little bit, but just how disorienting the camera can be depending on how like crazy you're flying around.
Yeah
it is,
but
just
it's kind of fun too, so it's like a little bit
so
like
much fun,
a little column A, a little column sense. B there.
Yeah. All right, so going to the first couple hours, do you think it passes the first 2 hour test?
Oh, absolutely. I think the first 5 minutes is hard because you're just learning this brand new mechanic, but the mechanic isn't so outrageously hard to learn that it makes it the first 2 hours hard. Once you get mm-hmm. past that first 5 minutes, this game gets so incredibly fun so fucking quickly.
And it's very intriguing and interesting. Yeah, like Scott was saying, it does have a little bit of a learning curve to it, but it's easy enough to get you, like, you can use the mechanics, it just, you'll perfect it the more you use it.
Yeah.
It definitely passes for me as well. Just the story, and I kept on just wanting so much the entire time to just, like, tell mm-hmm. me about Kat. Just
what
let me
is
know
up
about
with her?
Kat. I need to know about Kat. Or Raven, too. I was so, like, when she gets into the game.
Well, Raven's story made sense. As soon as they said the person and then said, well, Raven came, I'm, like, instantly, like, okay, I understand who Raven is.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, the first 2 hours, this is, like, literally perfect, guys. You can't win. You can't lose by playing this game. You can only win.
Fair. All right, so now we go to Steve Achieves. So this game is about 10 hours long, and if you're going to 100% this game and get all the trophies in it, it is about 19 and a half hours to get everything. Notable achievements. Lost in Time and Space, hearing the mysterious couple's full story, which I did not get all of them.
I think I got 9 out of 16.
So I am
kind of
intrigued.
It just takes so much exploration to find them and with how big the world is, because it's not just like we've talked about it. It's not just the top of the world. You're looking at the top, the sides, the bottom. It makes the world so much bigger than it really needs to be, but in a good way, right? Mm-hmm. It just makes exploration a little bit harder, and you can't find every nook and cranny because of that.
Like, this one definitely almost would need a guide. I mean, unless you explore literally everything.
I was debating going back in and actually just because I have that save right before I beat the game and just you know, giving it a try, going back to all the worlds, because I thought that this game would be like fucking Lost in Random, where you get past an area and you just cannot go back.
Yeah.
But it's not, which is awesome, which means they don't have to start from the beginning.
Yeah, I'm glad that you can keep going around, and like even the fast traveling between the different places and cities and stuff was really nice.
Yeah.
All That Glitters, getting a gold in every challenge.
I did that one.
Oh, nice. I did not. I did not take the time to do that. And then some of the skill-based achievements are trophies, I mean. Frequent flyer, land 10 gravity kicks without landing or taking damage. Pitching machine, hurl 10 objects into enemies without missing or taking damage. And gravitational anomaly, defeating 8 enemies with one special attack. Those are really the only skill-based ones in the game. So, like, they're not even, like, that difficult. Like, none of the achievements in... I always will say achievements. None of the trophies in this are... You achieve it and you get the trophy.
Screw your fucking trophy, Sony. Get out of here with your fucking horse shit.
We will always stand on that. But, yeah, that's a lot of what I wanted to say for that. And so we will go into the hunt for all the eggs.
Hold on, I have one more thing to say. Fuck you, go. David, and your fucking trophy. I know David really. David Stevens' brother-in-law, and he likes PlayStation a lot, I think.
Yeah, both my brother-in-laws, they're both PlayStation people through and through. They both have had Xboxes, and they both had 360s. They did not get the newer consoles, so I did get David to play Xbox every once in a while, or he'll play on it every once in a while. But for the most part, they're both PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
The only ones my friend group that are. Damn
PlayStation
it.
Sucks.
Actually, I guess Shelby is too, my brother's fiance.
Yeah.
All right, so the hunt for all the eggs. There actually was no Easter eggs in this game, per se. But in the new game that came out this year for PlayStation 5, Astro's Playroom, there is a Gravity Rush Easter egg showing a girl walking up a vertical pillar and drops a ball and then uses gravity powers to get it back, really alluding to Cat.
Yeah.
And it's very obvious Easter egg for that. A lot of people are wondering because the creator has said that he would do a Gravity Rush 3 if given the opportunity.
Yeah.
They have wondered if he and hoped that he would put some Silent Hill references in the next one because he didn't do it in either of the other games.
I'm okay with that. Honestly, I am okay with him not putting any Silent Hill in.
I am as well. I don't think it fits. Like, no. There's some times where it just doesn't fit. And I mean, like,
we've talked about sucking your own dick for these games. Like, we don't want it that much. We just want you to fucking make this game. Stop worrying about your previous games and make this one awesome.
Fair.
Which he didn't worry about it. And this game turned out fucking awesome.
True. And, you know, I have to give credit to that because Easter eggs can be cool. And I like homage Easter eggs more than I do like sucking your own dick Easter eggs for sure. But yeah. They're not always needed.
No.
As far as other secrets in the game, there are 3 hidden rare Nevi boss fights.
Yep.
In random locations of the game. There's one for the Inferno, the Ruins, and the Mirage. And one of them in the Ruins does not take any damage from special attacks.
Yep, I fought that one.
Only one who does that.
I fought him and beat him, and it was hard.
Nice. Yeah, those were a little challenging for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all for that. So we will go into our final ratings and Scott will say what it is worth.
Scott will say what it is worth?
We will both say what it is worth. I was just asking you first, you know.
Oh, I see. That was a question. It was not ordered as a fucking question.
It was really bad. I was trying to go with the flow and didn't say
okay. The flow was not there. The flow was not there.
That was bad.
You know, I like this game and the only thing that's holding me back is from a 5 out of 5. Is honestly the fucking Vita.
Fair.
I'm just so upset still that it was on the fucking Vita, because if this game is out on the PlayStation 3, this game probably passes every fucking bar that anyone has. It's so fucking phenomenal. But unfortunately, because the Vita kind of fucked it and made that little bit of lag and a little bit of shittiness that happens in the game, like the hard to control controls, that's all because of the fucking Vita. And I'm super pissed about that. And I really wish they would have just let them make this for the PlayStation 3. Because this game would have been a perfect game on the fucking PlayStation 3. But I'm going to have to give it a 4 out of 5.
Fair. I think I'm also out of 4 out of 5. Just because of the clunkiness and the camera sometimes.
Yeah, because of the fucking Vita.
Yeah.
God damn it.
And then, of course, a couple of those bugs this guy was talking about. I had a couple myself.
Yeah. And that's again, fucking Vita. You know, Kaiichiro, I am so sorry, dude. You made such a fucking perfect world and a perfect game, and Sony fucked you over. And that's not fucking fair. Dude, you rock. I I loved reading your shit. I loved how you're like, you know, I fucking made this game because this is my passion. Like, he even said, like, this was the game he wanted to make when he started making games. And he couldn't because he got stuck on Silent Hill, and then he got stuck on the Siren series. And he's like, you know, this is unfortunately what fucking Sony wants, and I have to do what Sony wants because they hired me.
Hey, sometimes you got to do what others want to get what you want out of it.
That's
true,
but he didn't. He fucking got the PS fucking Vita.
I know. He almost got what he wanted perfectly. And I mean, at least he got the PlayStation Remastered and did get a sequel, which the sequel I don't think was just on Vita, was it?
I think I don't know, actually. Yeah, I know it came out in 2017, and that's about all I know.
Okay.
I didn't bother looking into it because it wasn't
this game.
There is
a fan
base
still asking and wanting for a third one, which if we got a new gen Gravity Rush, that thing would be
I am 100%
killer.
Going to play the second one. I'm going
Me
to
too.
Probably 100% the first one because I still haven't done that. But like, this game was fucking awesome, guys. Play this fucking game. This guy has a great fucking eye for what's awesome.
He really does. Yeah. And seriously, like, you won't find a more unique and fun traversal mechanic.
For sure.
Like, this is up there with, like, Spider-Man for me as far as traversal. Like, I just really love traversal in games.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big, big thing, which is also a big thing in our next game.
What's our next game?
Our next game is Suicide Squad.
I know what it is. I was just asking you. I'm pretty sure he knows. He should. He just said, like, it's a big traversal thing, and it's just like our next game. I was lying. I don't even know what it is.
It's Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League.
It looks like a fun game. That's the one that got a lot of bad rap when it came out, right?
Yes.
Like, it was
this
really
one was
awful.
Very, very controversial, very awful. Yeah. Lots of effects on the screen, hard to read everything that's happening. A lot of people were upset because you gave four people with some of them actually having powers, and you just gave them all guns. It's like, no one wanted to see King Shark with a gun. That just seemed really off and weird. They do kind of explain it with the story a little bit. I'll give them a little bit of credit because they did kind of try to say, like, they need to. But, I mean, it's interesting.
I haven't played it yet. I'm excited for this one.
Some people have said it's gotten better since it came out, so I'm excited to see how it actually plays out. There are some things that a lot of people hated the boss fights mostly. I think that was the biggest gripe too.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that's it. And also, guys, just so you know, again, we said it, maybe we should just affirm it. Gravity Rush is only playable on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita. So if you did want to pick it up, you have to pick it up on one of those two things. You could probably get an emulator for the PlayStation Vita, but I would never tell you to do that because that is illegal.
Exactly. And we do not tell you to do illegal things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have it on PlayStation 4 because we did the remaster.
True. So, all right, guys. Well, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you.